In back-to-back votes, the Senate delivered an unusual rebuke to President Trump. The Senate yesterday called on the U.S. to end military support for Saudi Arabia for its war in Yemen, and also placed blame for the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi squarely on Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Joining us now is Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia. Senator, welcome, and why did you vote for these two resolutions? What do you think they're going to accomplish?
Well, the first resolution had a double purpose. It was to use the War Powers Resolution to reassert that Congress should have authority over when we're at war and when administrations, and this has been true of presidents of both parties and Congresses of both parties, start to feel like they can engage in war without Congress. You wreck the constitutional value of having this debate before the public, before you commit our men and women, our troops, into harm's way. So we're starting to haul that power back, and the strong vote in Congress against this undeclared war in Yemen, I think, was very powerful. The second message from that resolution, though, was a strong message to the Saudis. They have been acting with impunity, whether it's the kidnapping of the Lebanese prime minister, the blockade of Qatar, the horrible mismanaged prosecution of the war in Yemen. But then there was a last straw, which was their state-sponsored murder of Virginia resident journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who had been advocating against the war in Yemen. And the Saudi government clearly felt like they could do that and get away with it, and nobody would trouble them. And they just need to know that in the halls of Congress, they don't have a free pass on something like this.
But aren't these resolutions largely symbolic, because the House is not likely to pass or even consider either of them? And the president has said maybe the Saudi crown prince did order the killing. Maybe he didn't. He certainly publicly does not believe that Mohammed bin Salman is responsible.
There is a symbolic element to them, Jeremy. You're right. Speaker Ryan, in his last act of public service, I guess, has decided that he wants to kill these resolutions. And so between now and the end of the year, they won't move. But there's going to be a Democratic House next year. I view this as more as a clear first step in a process of both taking back war-making power to Congress, giving a message to the Saudis, but also showing President Trump, and I think Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi showed him this week in the meeting in the Oval Office. For his first 2 years, he's been surrounded by a lot of enablers, the congressional leadership, his own cabinet. He can spout off things that aren't true, and he'll have people nodding and smiling and saying yes to his faith. Those days are coming to an end. On January 3, when there is a Democratic House, he'll have to get used to dealing with people who aren't enablers but are going to be a true Article 1 branch. We're not Article 2.5 and play Mother May I with the president. We have our own independent role to play in American government. I think the president's going to have to get used to that new reality.
Do you think that it's possible that because of the pressure from the Senate, that perhaps Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman will be removed from his position of power, and that the Saudis will say, okay, fine, we're going to put somebody else in charge?
Jeremy, I have a real strong feeling about this. I don't tell other nations who their leaders should be. That's for them to decide. But when behavior is past the point of being tolerable, we have to stand up for human rights, for journalism, for the notion that a consulate should be a safe haven. We have to stand against humanitarian disasters that are being created by this war in Yemen. We stand up for our values, and then countries can make their own adjustments. But I will say this: I do think the strong Senate action has already produced some response. You saw the beginnings of some positive breakthroughs in the discussions about trying to reach a ceasefire and an ultimate political settlement to the civil war in Yemen. And I believe that the strong message we're sending, that we're just not going to plant our feet on the Saudi side and go along with them whatever they do, I think that's probably important to trying to find a resolution to this grim humanitarian disaster.
One more thing, Tim Kaine, you were obviously the vice presidential nominee in 2016, and as you look forward, do you think that Beto O'Rourke is the leader of the pack right now for 2020 for the Democrats?
I think it's too early to say who's the leader of the pack. The good news is we've got a lot of really dynamic candidates, and I'm excited to see the number of young and diverse candidates. I think that is a really good thing. I suspect it's going to be kind of a messy and challenging process for a while just because of the sheer number of candidates. But having a young and dynamic field, and a lot of people who are interested in carrying the banner for the party is nothing but good news.
That is Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia. Senator, thank you.
Okay, thanks much, Jeremy.